This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Enterprise Biz Bytes here on BFM 89.9. I'm Christine Wong, and joining me from home is
Mr. Richard Bradbury.
Yes. So you may be a little bit surprised to hear Rich and I on air today. I'll be here tomorrow as well. But we, more importantly, have something very urgent to talk about today, which our question for you guys on our social media is, have you ever had your data leaked in a data breach? You can get in touch with us on Twitter or Instagram at BFM Radio. You can also get in touch with us on WhatsApp at 018-789-8899. And this is all because there has been yet another data breach, essentially. So a database that apparently belongs to the National Registration Department, or JPN, has been put up on sale at a well-known database marketplace forum. So let's kind of just jump right into it. First of all, how many times must this happen? If you cast your mind back to 2017, when there was a massive data breach of 46 million Malaysian phone numbers leaked and personal information from multiple Malaysian public sector and commercial websites was also stolen. Back then, information from 12 mobile operators was being sold, and from websites including JobStreet, Malaysian Medical Council, Malaysian Housing Loan Applications, and the National Specialist Register of Malaysia, amongst others. This time, it is another data breach at a government agency. So on Tuesday, a database that apparently belongs to the National Registration Department, or JPN, was put up on sale at a well-known database marketplace forum. The seller claimed that it contained 4 million pieces of data that was obtained from the Inland Revenue Board's, or LHDN's, website through an API, which is an application programming interface that is made for My Identity.
Now, if you don't know what an API is, just here's a quick analogy. Imagine that you're sitting at a table in a restaurant with a menu of choices to order from. The kitchen is part of the system that will prepare your order. What's missing is that critical link to communicate your order to the kitchen and deliver your food back to your table. That's where the waiter or the API comes in. The waiter is the messenger or the API that takes your request or order and tells the kitchen, the system, what to do. Then the waiter delivers the response back to you. In this case, it's the food. Now, for those of you who are not familiar with My Identity, it's essentially the national data sharing platform for the public sector that allows government agencies to obtain one's personal details from a centralized repository. 10 agencies, including both JPN and LHDN, are currently linked to the platform, which first went live in June 2012. First highlighted by a local intrusion analyst, Adnan Shukor, the seller noted that the database contained plenty of information, including your full names, NRIC numbers, mailing and permanent addresses, mobile phone numbers, and email addresses. Additionally, there are images present in the database, and they range from people's birth years, ranging from 1979 up to 1998. Not the first time that this particular seller has put up a database for Malaysian organizations for sale at the Marketplace Forum. Back in February, the same seller had listed a database that claimed to be from the local e-commerce platform, IFMAL, as well as another set from the Election Commission of Malaysia, of course, the SPR.
Mm-hmm. However, the seller didn't put any prices on the previous two listings as opposed to JPN's database, which comes with a price tag of 0.2 Bitcoin, which is around 35,000 ringgit at the moment. I don't know about you, Rich, but I'm kind of worried about my data being on there. It's terrifying.
It is, yeah. I mean, I'm not so worried because I'm not a Malaysian national.
Yeah.
But at some point, you know, information gets threaded through and can end up on there. You know, and it's not just how worried we are. It's what can happen with mm-hmm. that data that's out there, mm-hmm. you know, and why on earth does it just keep happening over and over again?
Yeah, I mean, in a way, a lot of this data is technically public already, right? You know, your full name is out there. You use your IC for a lot of things, your email, your phone number, right? But I worry about the extent to which that data can be misused, you know? Mm-hmm. And I'm sort of wondering how do we better secure ourselves against, you know, breaches like this? And especially when, you know, it's almost like too late. The data is already in someone else's hands, right?
Yeah, yeah. And the data that's out there as well, it's not just that it's worrying data. It's stuff that's very, very specific to you. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, if it was throwaway data like emails and mobile phone numbers, that's fair enough. But it's your home addresses. It's your permanent details linked to your NRIC that don't change. That's what makes it really worrying for me.
Right. And I'm hoping that we'll find out a little bit more about some preventative measures as well that could be put in place to prevent this from even happening again. Like the fact that we have to say it's happening again is, you know. Yeah. Well, after the break, we will be hearing from an expert to give us the answer to some of these questions and to fill us in on a few more details.
Yeah, we've got Alvin Toe. He's the CMO of Straits Interactive. He's going to be putting us in our place and letting us know what we can and can't do regarding this and potential future leaks, unfortunately. Meanwhile, we are asking you in the polls, have you ever had your data leaked in a data breach? Let us know on WhatsApp and on Twitter and Instagram, of course. Twitter and Instagram is at BFM Radio. WhatsApp 018-789-8899.
For now, here is Jimi Hendrix with Little Wing on BFM 89.9.
Banish feudal mentality. BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to Enterprise Biz Bytes with me, Christine Wong, and joining me virtually is
Mr. Richard Bradbury.
Yes, and we have a question for you on our social medias. What is it?
It is, have you ever had your data leaked in a data breach? Let us know. We have four options over on Twitter. It is yes, sadly, at 37.2%, my word. 52.3% of you saying, I hope not, but I don't know. 9.3% of you saying, no, I'm lucky. 1.2% of you saying, no, I'm very careful. And a response from Topics over on Twitter says, from Yahoo back then, this one for sure, I also suspect from the telco leaks just a few years ago.
Mm-hmm. And
I've got an update on Instagram as well, Chris. Let me quickly get to that. 62% of people saying yes, they think they have been subjected to data breach over there. With a couple of responses, Rizwanga Zali is saying, getting called by scammers and telemarketers. Yes, I've had that. Kwan Wan Hong has said, call the people up, tell him to do the right thing. And PDX3156 has said, change the passwords that I'll probably forget. I am in that boat with you there, PDX.
Yes, we also do have a response here on WhatsApp from a number ending in 5809 who says, LOL, the government which implemented PDPA are the ones themselves not following PDPA guidelines, which in the words of Alanis Morissette, isn't that ironic? Now, we do have an expert to discuss all of this on the show today. Who are we speaking to?
We'll be speaking with Alvin Toe. He's the CMO of Straits Interactive, and they are ASEAN's leading provider of governance, risk and compliance, GRC, solutions designed to maximize data protection and privacy. Do you want to get straight on with it, Chris?
Yes, let's do it.
Okay, Alvin, it's been reported that there has been a data breach of the JPN database, allegedly. How common are these kind of breaches here in Malaysia?
Let me answer that from a global, then a regional, and then to a Malaysian perspective. Right, on a global basis, the breaches that are happening now in Southeast Asia have shot up exponentially, marking it to be the region for the biggest increase in reported data breaches worldwide. IBM Security reported that the average security breach is now costing $2.71 million per organization across Southeast Asia to recover. Our own Data Protection Excellence Network did a research for 2021 top 5 data protection trends. Of note are third party are now becoming a focus due to additional automation, digitalization, and work from home, where many people have taken third parties and the risk have increased breaches from them. The continued cyber threats and data breaches, we are already seeing that coming even from things like mobile apps and the digitalization of firms due to the COVID-19 and the ongoing automation. And more so now, firms are picking up in terms of how do you do a due diligence on these third parties and companies. So standards for firms are now being imposed in terms of how they demonstrate a level of compliance, and individuals, like DPOs, are now also being asked, or at least when they're hiring, to looking at people who have certifications in data protection. Now, coming out from ASEAN, in Malaysia, there is a Trend Micro report that said that nearly 60% of the firms surveyed think they will suffer a serious cyber attack within a year. 30% have suffered already more than 7 cyber attacks that infiltrated their networks and systems. And get this, 21% suffered more than 7 breaches of customer data type over the past year. So really, what kind of attacks can we see coming more of? Ransomware is one common one you've seen in the press. The next one is called the supply chain attacks, known as watering hole attack. This type of attacks work by identifying a website that's frequented by users within a target organization or an entire sector, like defense, government, healthcare. That website is then compromised to enable a distribution of malware, and subsequently it's able to get data off those who are frequenting there within that group, right? So this is, we're seeing more of that happening. It's a bit subtle, but you can see the dominoes across how third parties now can be part of the chain of attack, right? To a sensitive government agency, for example.
Right. And do we have more of this kind of breach here in Malaysia compared to other places?
Well, let's look at the context. I think with the pandemic, we are seeing a lot more breaches across the region. And what organizations are facing, especially, is a couple of things. Number one, the lockdowns has made people work from home. So therefore, in terms of measures of administering security, it's been a challenge. And, you know, people who are working from home also are more susceptible to security lapses and using multiple devices. So it can be a challenge, you know, in countries where the security operations may not be as tight, right? So we are already seeing guidelines coming out from authorities in Singapore, for example, especially zooming down on this area to tighten up for organizations doing work from home, you know, how they are doing third-party due diligence, and it's worded into the guidelines in the law, right? I'm sure Malaysia is looking at it likewise. And this is something that for us, if you look at the region, even Indonesia, their COVID-19 tracing app, you know, had a leak, right? And this was an issue. In the United States, even our ASEAN, right? The Colonial Pipeline is a very critical infrastructure, had the ransomware attack, right? So then they had the United Nations, you know, the hackers obtained the employee login and executed attacks across UN agencies. So it's not unique to Malaysia, right? It's just, I think right now, with the combined challenging working situations where staff are not necessarily confined to a secure network in their office, and the use of devices outside and taking data out, and they're accessing their sensitive network from home or elsewhere, provides a unique opportunity for, you know, these organizations or even government agencies to be compromised, right? So how much are reported in Malaysia versus the other countries? I don't have a comparison, but I would say that this is something to watch for, whether you are government agencies or enterprises, because the rate of digitalization has outpaced the posture of data protection and security. That is for certain.
Well, that paints a bright picture, Alvin. Now, Alvin, I mean, what can be done to prevent these kinds of breaches here? And just why aren't they being done?
Well, we are seeing more calls by regulators in the region for companies to implement an effective data protection management program, especially relating to personal data. The posture now is a risk-based approach, and it behooves an organization to conduct a risk assessment to identify the risk in 4 key activities, especially relating to personal data. That is in when they're collecting, how they're using, disclosing, and storing data, and whether there is in requirements of the data protection laws in the country, right? In Malaysia, there's the PDPA. Now, in terms of risk assessments, many firms probably now should be looking at how do they do even risk assessment of their IT assets. I mean, we're talking about cyber risk, right? but also in terms of risk management, in terms of their processes they've implemented due to work from home, because a lot of the processes never existed before, and data is now taken out of a secure environment to homes, for example, or even how they are collecting, right, or transferring between each other. So risk assessment for new entities they've taken on, right? Now, compliance of the processes or security is going to be important, especially now the employees are not even in front of them. So how do you do that, right? So as an organization ourselves, you know, at the Straits Interactive and our Data Protection Excellence Network, we actually have to do more training, right, for people to be able to execute the work from home policies and to be aware of them and how to escalate, because, you know, it's very lonely at home and you may not know that, you know, how what to do, or you may panic because there is no colleague next to you, and how do you escalate for help? So that is something to look at. Now, why haven't they been done, these processes? Well, the most common issue I've seen is the issue of governance, right? Organizations suffer from the management support, and in part due to a lack of understanding of the importance of data protection at senior management level, right? And something that data protection is a paper exercise, so just wayang with some policies and paper, but they're not operationalized, right? So you can have these beautifully written policies or legal documents, but they don't mean a thing when it comes down to execution. And therefore then impact the third point, which is employees then aren't adequately trained or even frequently trained on good data protection practices, right? And in fact, right now it's even more important because there's nobody to talk to guide them when they're at home because they're alone. So the training has to be a bit more robust. The operational policy has to be more detailed, and the monitoring of those competencies are important. So these things cost time, effort, and money, and many firms, the management may not put this as high priority. So this is one area that, you know, has moved down the agenda quite a bit, and you know, some firms have kicked the can quite far down the road, but the risk is escalating because they're actually digitalizing at a rapid rate to survive and pivot.
All right. Alvin, just stay on the line for us because we do need to take a short break, but we will continue speaking to Alvin To, the CMO of Straits Interactive, after this. We do have a song coming up now. This is Take the Money and Run by the Steve Miller Band. And when we come back, we'll speak more to Alvin about this data breach here on BFM 89.9.
Be free, Malaysia. BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to Enterprise Biz Bytes with me, Christine Wong, and
Rich Bradbury.
There we go. And today we are talking about a pretty serious topic. Our question for you on social media is, have you ever had your data leaked in a data breach? Let us know on Twitter or Instagram, where we have polls running at BFM Radio, or on WhatsApp 018789899. We will get to your responses later on, but for the time being, we have Alvin To, CMO of Straits Interactive, who are ASEAN's leading provider of governance, risk and compliance solutions designed to maximize data protection and privacy, on the line, and he's giving us some insight into this issue. So, Alvin, look, how easy is it to obtain this kind of information?
Now, if you're talking about the personal data collected by firms, there can be a multi-point of leaks, accidental or intentional, right? These information, once exfiltrated or grabbed by the third parties, it can be listed on the dark web for sale for nefarious purposes, or even in various chat groups. But some are pasted on public websites like Pastebin, right, for shaming of firms by hacktivists, right? And some turn up on public websites like Lao Yat for public resale even. So you can obtain the information through these different channels, right, in different levels of cost and access, right? So this is something to get personal data out of firms, you really, or even how are they made available, you really look at your 4 points when you're collecting, using, disclosing, and storing personal data, right? So once it's out there, it's very difficult to undo.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Alvin, the data that's been stolen is allegedly been sold on a well-known database marketplace forum. Who would be the potential customers of this information? And just exactly what could they use this data for?
According to the article, the alleged personal data leak includes the full name, NRIC, mailing and permanent addresses, mobile number and email address. This is very, very troubling. With this information, identity theft can easily take place because a number of this information are permanent attributes of a person, NRIC, permanent address, right? The potential customer for this type of information can be buried. For example, crime syndicates may buy this to lure the unsuspecting people into scams, right? And, obviously can cheat them on their money. Some can impersonate you to authorize fraudulent transactions in some services they know you're part of. Some can even open accounts in your name for nefarious purposes, right? We have not seen public cases in the media about identity theft in this country as much. But I can tell you it's happening. In the US, it's a big, big business, right? Here, people may not even know. That's why now there are services like that to actually monitor how your data is being used without you knowing, right? In dark web, for example.
Mm-hmm. So Alvin, the data is being sold for a value of 0.2 Bitcoins. Now, put that into perspective for us. Is that the going rate for 4 million users' data?
Interestingly, for this attribute of personal data, where I mentioned just now there are more permanent attributes of personal data, it is rather cheap, right? I suspect this is already probably being uploaded elsewhere, sold and resold already on the dark web, right? So this is really that third, fourth, fifth hand already. Typically, personal data with attributes like this will be used for identification and verification, and it's worth more than a credit card detail, which is like 50 cents, right, on the market. The level of harm and fraud that can be perpetuated with this detailed personal data I mentioned earlier on can be quite far-reaching, right, to identity theft.
And this is worrying, how difficult is it going to be to track down the people that leaked this data, and how would that be done? Has there been any success in tracking down people like this in the past?
Well, let me quote you a case where they track the money flow first, right? So you've seen the Colonial Pipeline hack where in the US, where the FBI managed to block the payment via Bitcoin, the ransom, as they actually had good information on suspicious wallets used by hackers and even had login details on them. And that level of monitoring prior to the crime enabled the authorities there to trace and locate the flow and stop the money or Bitcoin from going out. And obviously, they knew who the potential perpetrators were. That's tracking the money flow, right, from their end, and tracking the dark web. Now, to be able to track the perpetrators for this hack in Malaysia, it very much depends on the forensics, the skills of the hackers, what they leave behind, the login capabilities of the system, and the traceability of the data sets. Right, so it's not an easy answer, and this is something that, it's a very tricky situation. So something that I'm sure the authorities are already looking at it with the help maybe even from Interpol.
Mm. Now, Alvin, what can be done to prevent this kind of leak from happening again in the future? Would that be a difficult process?
Everyone in the company has a part to play when it comes to data protection. And really, it's not just the job of the IT guy, right? Or the data protection officer. So for the case you mentioned just now, it may be a leak or it's actually probably a hack. And that one's a cybersecurity posture internally. But to compromise the organization, it can be something as innocuous as compromising a low-level worker, okay? And then from there, they tunnel in into the organization. So it's not like a Mission Impossible kind of situation where somebody drops down from the ceiling. And this is something that the importance of training your employees not to fall for malware, the phishing types of things, because at whatever level, if you're an organization and you have access, they can always maneuver internally to get higher level access. And that was happening in the Bangladesh bank situation, right? They sat in there, the hackers, for quite a while, monitoring conversation, then started impersonating conversations internally, okay? And then subsequently got higher and higher levels of access. So somebody who is determined or advanced persistent threat can do that, right? So the takeaway is that don't underestimate even your lowest level workers because they can be a point of entry, right? So to prevent this kind of compromise, it's important that you have sound SOPs for data protection, have a data protection management program that is sustained. That means it's not just, you know, it's IT's job, right? Everybody has a part to play, whether how you check email, you know, now you work from home, whether your devices are being shared with your kids, or you download certain things that may have compromised. Now people are using phones, tablets, computers, right? So multiple devices are tunneling into the organization's assets, right? So having a data protection management program that's sound with SOPs that are updated to how you are working, then using the best practices of the data protection management, right, where you do inventory assessment, process analysis, and all that. It's something that we teach in our Data Protection Excellence Network and in our consulting for firms. Many firms are still behind, right, in this area because the processes and the amount of data they've collected have escalated just within the last 2 years.
All right, Alvin, just hang on the line for us for a little bit. We do have to take a short break. But again, that question that we're asking you guys on social media, have you ever had your data leaked in a data breach? Let us know on Twitter or Instagram at BFM Radio or on WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Here is The Smiths with The Boy with a Thorn in His Side here on BFM 89.9.
Bluff-free medium, BFM 89.9.
This is Enterprise Biz Bytes. I'm Christine Wong and I'm joined by
Richard Bradbury.
And we are talking today about the the alleged JPN data breach. And we have Alvin To, CMO of Straits Interactive, on the line with us. So we have a couple more questions. Rich, why don't you take it away?
Yeah, Alvin, it might sound like a silly question, but should we be concerned that our data is out there now?
Should you be concerned that level of data is out there? Yes. This level of data where it's more permanent attributes of you, like I mentioned earlier on, can be used for purposes for impersonation and for fraudulent transactions, right? Or even just scamming. So it is a serious problem, right? And that is something you're seeing more and more headlines worldwide of enforcement on firms, especially on such sensitive personal data. So you want to be looking at possibly engaging a identity theft monitoring system for your own personal data. I don't know whether the authority or the affected enterprise will actually do that as part of their remediation. We have seen that in Singapore, a couple of telcos who had their database compromised, and then they actually deploy these identity theft monitoring services for a period of time for their affected customers. So for firms right now, seeing this thing, you want to be really looking at how you collect, use, disclose, or store, and engage a professional to actually how to close off this, especially in compliance with the DORA, which is the Personal Data Protection Act. Now, of course, you have the cybersecurity guidelines as well.
So, Alvin, what can we do to protect ourselves and to check to see if our own data has been leaked?
As I mentioned, the identity theft monitoring service is something you want to probably take on or check with the organization if they're going to be doing that as part of remediation. What it does is that it actually flags for you all those personal data that you think have been compromised and it will scan the internet and the dark web where they may show up, right? Either for sale or in discussion or posted on some sites that are shady. It will then flag you, and then you can decide what to do, right? And if there are transactional risks due to your identity being compromised, you may ask for your credit bureau for identity theft monitoring. I'm not sure if the Malaysian credit bureau services offer this, but in some countries, the credit bureaus do that as well, right? If you report it to them. So as a preventive measure now, how do you protect yourself? Know your rights under the data protection law, right, PDP in Malaysia, and start asking firms, right? Why and how are they asking for your personal? Why are they asking for your personal data, the purpose of its use, and how are they protecting your data? The more information they ask, especially sensitive information like your NRIC and you know the permanent addresses and all that, the more you want to conduct due diligence on these firms, assure yourself they adhere to standards that are trustable. Okay, so like whether they have ISO certifications, the one to note is ISO 27701, which is the data privacy overlay on top of the InfoSec security. Or in Singapore's case, they have the data protection trust mark, right, which is actually backed by the government. So these are more preventive measures. Do your due diligence, right, as an individual and also as a firm.
I'm going to put you on the spot, Alvin, I guess. If you were to guess, who in your mind is responsible?
Well, it's hard to tell who the original perpetrator might be. As I suspect, this thing listed on the Lawyer One may not be the original hacker, as it's posting on a public website to hog a list at such a price. Like I mentioned, it might be already second, third, fourth hand, right? And been sold and resold in the dark web for a while already. Okay. So motivations for hacking a national database like this are high. And it can range from state actors who are sophisticated to crime syndicates to activists, right? Unlikely to be a casual hacker, right? So each of them had different motivations. So I wouldn't, you know, put down in any one of them, but it can be any of them, right? Especially on a national level. So especially now where even firms who have very large databases become a target for these type of perpetrators, yeah? So you already can see like the Facebook data, you know, with the elections, right? Remember the Cambridge Analytica. Personal data of people on Facebook, on their preferences or this thing became precious for them because they can maneuver or manipulate ads and stuff to influence your opinion. Okay. So not just a national database, any significant database of behavioral data or permanent data that can be used for influencing, right, people, then something is also to be considered, which is why you're seeing regulations. Even in China, right? We just had a webinar on this in our Data Protection Excellence Network with the previous Hong Kong commissioner. China is now also having rules on AI generated content, profiling of personal data without people's consent or knowledge. So this is something, you know, they are clamping down on the commercial firms, and likewise it will equally apply to some of the state agencies, right? So be aware, and for firms out here, if you are taking on digitalization and collecting a lot of data, be mindful that responsibility is much, much greater on you now to make sure that you know how you're collecting, using, disclose, and protecting those data, and be in compliance with the law. Yeah, not just the PDP in Malaysia, especially if you want to operate in the region, you want to be mindful how you are having something that's sustainable and you can prove that you have sound practices.
Thank you very much. That was Alvin Toh, CMO of Straits Interactive, speaking to us about this issue. Now, Rich, you have a couple of updates here for us as well.
We do indeed. We do know that this breach has been taken very seriously. The Royal Malaysian Police have begun to investigate the database leak that's said to involve the JPN. It is the Deputy Director of the JPN, and the case is currently being investigated under Section 4.1 of the Computer Crimes Act 1997. It's in collaboration with the Malaysian Communications and Multimedia Commission, the MCMC, Cybersecurity Malaysia, and the National Cybersecurity Agency, NACSA. But LHDN have insisted that all of the data information under its custody is safe and protected by recognized data security technology. That being said, it's currently working together with the agencies we've just mentioned. Now, here's another thing. As of yesterday, there was yet another leak, and this is said to have sprung, this time involving the Companies Commission of Malaysia, the SSM. The data is said to contain company profiles, particulars of its directors, shareholders, particulars of the company's secretary, and an awful lot more. Apparently, this data contains the profiles of around 1.4 million Malaysian companies. Mm. There we go.
Well, you know, everyone just be careful out there. Now, we do have some responses on social media. We have a couple here on WhatsApp. So we've got May, who says, "Hi, Rich. Hi, Christine. Yeah, I think mine's been breached. Random insurance agents, banks calling me to offer their promos, credit cards, etc. But the worst one was I almost got scammed by the infamous Macau scam just a few months ago during MCO in June, I think. What I did was I went and made a police report right after it occurred, which, fair enough. We've also got Chu, who says, "Stop using your IC address, email, details of account verification. This info is so easily obtained." Most definitely. What are the numbers like on the polls?
53% over on Instagram saying that they have been a victim of some kind of data breach. Over on Twitter, we've got 51% of people saying, "I hope not, but I don't know." 39% of you saying, "Yes, sadly." 9% saying, "No, I'm lucky," with 1% saying, "No, I'm careful." One more message here on Twitter from, that's my full name. "For years, I received SMSs from property agents asking to buy two properties I don't own. Turns out they're in locations of my siblings' homes. I'm sure my data was sold, falsified, or misused. Same with data from a government app. My friends and I were contacted by UKM for a survey."
So, yeah, just a PSA, everyone, to be a bit more careful with your personal details as much as you can. But thanks to Alvin from Streets Interactive for today's show. And that's about all we have for today. We'll be back same time tomorrow at 12 to talk about something else, hopefully slightly lighter. Now, of course, coming up after the 1pm news bulletin on the Breakfast Grill replay, Milo, Maggie and Nescafe are just some of Nestle's iconic household names that many Malaysians have grown up with. But in a post-COVID-19 landscape, and to a larger extent, a changing consumer taste with an emphasis on health and sustainability, how will Nestle Malaysia adapt? What makes one of the largest FMCG companies in the world relevant and innovative in their products whilst balancing its social and environmental impact? So the Breakfast Grill had Nestle's Malaysian CEO, Juan Arenals, on the show. Thank you very much, guys, for tuning in, sending in your responses on Twitter, Instagram and WhatsApp as well. We will be back same time, same place tomorrow here on BFM 89.9, The Business Station. I'm Christine Wong. I've been joined by Richard Bradbury virtually here in the studio. And coming up next is the Cardigans with Love Fool here on BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.